May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A week ago Friday, I drove for the first time to the Cathedral Domain, our Episcopal Diocese Camp and Conference Center. I was going to join with 8 others from St. John's for an overnight retreat as part of lay pastoral care training for this parish. I had very clear, excellent written directions from the camp. For I was told that your GPS won't get you to the right place. Now, I have to tell you that my GPS has been a lifesaver since moving to Kentucky. My GPS is set with an English accent. She's quite lovely, and she gets me everywhere. And she refers to the entrance to highways as the slip road. Take the slip road onto Highway 62. And so I was really doubting whether I shouldn't turn the GPS on for this trip, and rather pay attention to the directions. But I did. I paid attention to these directions so carefully, and I'm driving, and at least twice, I was sure I was headed in the wrong direction. One was when I went through a one-way tunnel. Well, it's two ways, but only one can go through at a time. One was when I passed a place that I thought, please, Lord, do not let me break down here. Because I was sure the person that lived inside that place would not be very friendly towards my breaking down. And you don't know this about me, but I have absolutely zero skills with fixing a car that's or a truck, in my case, that's broken. So I thought this would not be good. Well, to my delight, the directions did get me to the destination with no mistakes. So those of you that laughed early on thinking I got lost, no mistakes to this beautiful setting. Getting to our destination with no mistakes. If only life were so simple. Knowing the destination that God intends for your life is quite a bit more complicated, isn't it? Especially when we are faced with hardships, complexities, and sadness in life. The great challenge for each of us is to know when it is that God is speaking to us and we are responding to God's true call, rather than our own wishful thinking or fantasies. You may or may not have had this experience that I will share with you. I shared it with the lay pastoral callers that we were with for training. It's happened only once in my life in this manner. The event happened when I was 21 years old and struggling with whether God was truly calling me to study for the ordained priesthood. One evening, alone in my room at Villanova University, frustrated with my indecision and lack of clarity about my future, I said boldly to God, okay, I'm going to flip open the Bible. You may have tried this. And wherever it opens, that will be your answer. So I flipped it open, I gazed up to heaven, well, the ceiling of my dorm room, and I looked down, and it was today's gospel. It was, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And from that moment, it was emphatically clear that I immediately began to pursue ordination. And I'll share with you that the flip open the Bible method has never worked again. In fact, be careful if you do it, because it could really go to some strange passage from Leviticus or something, or, you know. It's the only time it's worked. We read today in Acts, as it was beautifully read for us from Acts, that the call of Philip was undeniable. As an angel of the Lord spoke to him, and the angel said, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." God calls you to a destiny where your gifts may best be used, where you have the possibility of experiencing true happiness and true joy in both what you do and in your doing it with Jesus Christ as the center of your life. One of the ways that I heard it said years ago that has always stayed with me is that God does not want us to die with our music still in us. It's beautiful, isn't it? That God does not want us to die with our music still in us. So many in this congregation, your music is already being played. I've experienced it by coming to know you. God wants that for you. And one of the profound questions that all of us have is, has my life made a difference? Is my life making a difference? No matter what age or what situation we find ourselves in, it's a question that confronts us. And the comforting thing is that I believe that when Jesus Christ has been the center of your life, even though you may not see how, your life has made a difference. Your life has made a difference. Perhaps in ways that only will grow, if you will, in the years to come. In that passage from Acts that Virginia read for us, we hear Philip going down a wilderness road. And it's interesting because if you were following along with the text, the wilderness road is put in parentheses. And yet Luke, the writer of Acts, included that, obviously not unintentional, to use that descriptive adjective, wilderness road, because he was living his life for Jesus. Philip responds and walks down a wilderness road, and Luke was saying to us as he wrote that passage from Acts that this very word, wilderness, evokes for you and evokes for me images of uncertainty, a difficult landscape, perhaps scary encounters, and most likely loneliness. We don't think of being on a wilderness road as being filled with company. And yet this act of listening and submission to God by Philip leads him to the Ethiopian eunuch who is waiting to be baptized, reading scripture, waiting to be baptized. And Philip makes a difference in his life by baptizing him, making him a Christian, and then going on his way for Jesus Christ. Jesus says to you, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, neither can you unless you abide in me." And then he says to you, "I am the vine, you are the branches." As God speaks to you and calls you to a destination, you are to live today, to live in the now. You see, abiding is both active and present. highly functioning Christians have the uncanny ability to live in the now. They are able somehow to shut out the past, not to forget the past, and they're able not to worry or be anxious about the future, but to live for the moment, to live for the day. They understand that all we really ever have is the present. This moment that we have right now together is really all we are guaranteed. One of the things I love about horses is horses only live in the moment. My horses are always present to the very moment that you're with them. They're not thinking about, I wonder if he'll do what he did yesterday, or I wonder what he might do tomorrow. I wonder if he'll get this tomorrow. This is really good hay. I wonder if he's going to bring this tomorrow. They live in the moment. And I get caught off guard when I'm riding one of them, when my mind is wandering and I watch my horse's ears, one of them is named Scarlet, when I watch Scarlet's ears kind of going like this, because she's picking up my energy, which is confused. She's thinking, now, think in the moment. Don't be thinking about what you want to do after dinner. When we watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday, those horses, not a one going around that mile and a quarter track was going, I can't wait to get back to the barn. They were there in the moment, and that's part of what excites us, isn't it? To live in the presence of Christ. We know when we're with someone that lives in the moment this way because they're people that give us their full attention when we're talking to them. We're sure of their presence. In that way, they are Christ-like. Jesus is clear that without him in our lives, our accomplishments, indeed our very lives, are meaningless. He says to us, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Living your life either separated or, what's much more common for all of us, is to stay loosely connected to Jesus, to his life, his teachings, and his presence. But Christ says to us that apart from him, all of it is meaningless. The promise is that both the destination that God holds out to you and the purpose of your life will become more and more evident, more palpable, as you live in Christ. Give your life to the one who gave his life for you, and God will be glorified by this, and you will bear much fruit. It's a lot for all of us to think about and pray over on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Amen.